Grateful for the Word of God and the chance to be together and to learn your Word and to just hear from one of your servants. We pray that you'd speak to us today. All day today, we'll need your presence. You'll need your Holy Spirit to move powerfully. We will not be able to do anything important or powerful without your Spirit. And we pray that he'd be moving powerfully in our midst. Every message would be from you and would speak to us and change us and make us more like Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today we have Brother Trocht, and they're back from Uganda, and they were there 6 years, and I'm not sure what he's teaching on during this class. Later, he'll share with us what they've been doing, what the Lord did there, and so, but he's going to teach Sunday school today, this class hour, and I hope you'll pay good attention and listen to Brother Trock. Come on up, brother, and give us what you have, and we sure appreciate him coming in for us today.
All right. Sure. All right, it's great to be here with you, and you guys have been a great blessing to us throughout the years that we have been in Uganda, and I do pray that we can be a blessing to you. Certainly, I do believe, because of what we've been able to do in Uganda, that there's much fruit that abounds to your account, and that's a promise from God. But to today, I'd like to talk to you, I could say, about me, and not from a standpoint of look at me, but a standpoint of look at what God has done in spite of me. And I'm going to talk about that, because how does an individual who was viewed as a very successful businessman — I'm a retired major from the United States Air Force, and then I also left Boeing, where I was the top of the engineering group there. How does someone like that end up on the mission field? And I want to talk to you about that and how it happened to me. But I want to start out with just the thought of this verse that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And this is an incredibly well-known verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I'm going to, literally, if we get a hold of what we're going to talk about today from God's Word, this will absolutely change us, because in a lot of ways, I don't know if we try to overcomplicate Christianity. I mean, the simple fact that, you know, many of us have listened to thousands of messages, and we could even get confused. I remember when my golf swing went bad, and it just did. I attribute it, the Lord took it away from me. But anyway, it just went bad, horrendously bad, and I could replicate this horrible shot every time. I could never replicate a good shot every time, but I could replicate this horrible shot every time. And this one individual who was a coworker was also a golf instructor, and he took me to check this out. So he basically, he kind of said, well, your stance isn't right, your grip isn't right, your backswing isn't right, nothing is right. And I just told him, listen, I can't get all of this. Could you just give me one thing to work on, and I'll try that. But basically, I believe there's one thing that we can work on that can really revolutionize each individual as a Christian. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because it did that for me. But it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we can see right away that you can do all types of things, all types of religious, spiritual things, but without faith, you can't please God. Amen. So the question then is, what is this idea of faith? What is it, or what is it not? And of course, some people get a very bad idea of faith. They believe it is something that they feel strongly about, And then they step out and follow that compulsion, that persuasion, and they will say, I have faith, okay? And this is not, when the Bible uses the word faith, that's not what it's talking about. I refer to it, it's a gambler's faith. I think this is the direction I should go or what I should do. But faith is actually reasonably simple to understand. Faith always begins with God's word. If God said it, and then you believe it, and by believing it, that means you must act upon it. You cannot claim, as James would talk about, you can't claim to believe something and then not take action in accordance with what you say you believe. You know, we have a lot of people in Uganda. Uganda is a very religious country, and they will say, yes, I love God. I love God. I'll say, okay, tell me, how do you love God? And that stumps them right away because they're thinking of, oh, I just have this feeling, you know? And I said, how do you love God? And what, in other words, what do you sacrifice? What do you do for God? See, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There is something that we must be doing to demonstrate that love, and the same thing goes with faith. And so remember, and that you'll see that as you even read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, you'll always see God gave a word, the man of God heard it and acted. And that's what faith is, okay? And so we're gonna remember that as we go through this lesson here. But just to let you know a little bit about myself, I have been in independent Baptist churches now for well over 50 years of my life. I grew up in independent Baptist churches. And as a young person, as a teenager or even a preteen, you could refer to me at the church as best in class. I was the number one teenager or even preteen in my church. When they had the contest to see who, you know, would win the free camp to, or the free trip to camp, I win it. You know, when they, any contest they'd have, pretty much I'd win it. And that's the way I would have been viewed by others in the church. One of my friends who hates me, and he hates me for the reason that his parents would always say, why can't you be like Tommy Trocht, you know? And so he, you know, that really struggles with that. But that's kind of the kid I was growing up. But I knew, see, we always know ourselves a lot better than other people do, but I knew that in my heart, I could not fully submit to God. And there was a reason. See, pastors would preach and they'd say, if you're not willing to do anything for God, then you basically, you have idols in your heart. You're not sold out. And I had things, and one in particular, that I was not willing to do. And what was that? It was pretty simple. I was not willing to go to Africa. I really wasn't. The missionaries scared the daylights out of me. You know, I was scared of dogs, you know, and then I'm thinking, you know, you go to Africa, you're dealing with lions and tigers and bears and snakes and then really, really creepy people. Because you know what I'm talking about, folks. You know, you've seen National Geographic and you've seen what all those Africans are like. You know, they all have holes in their ears and they droop down to here. They stick bones in their noses. And you know what I'm saying, you know. So I shouldn't give it away yet, but that's so wrong. But that was what they showed me when we, you know, even in school, you know, when they give us the little movies of Africa. Oh, scary stuff. And I really, honestly, I was really worried that if I were to say God anything, he would say, you're going to Africa. And I can't. I am too frightened to go to Africa. There's one other thing that troubled me, and that was old people. Now, I'm one of them, but it troubled me back then because some people, you know, there's just some people who are just good around old people, around handicapped people. They're just good, and you may want to be like them, but you're just not. You know, it troubled me when you go around old people, especially my grandma, you know, and she'd be eating saltine crackers and talking at the same time, you know. And now listen, old people, don't do that, you know, because you're talking, the crackers are flying at you, and it's, oh, and so, but some people are just really good. My wife is one of those, you know, I'd love to be like her in that area, but I'm just not. And then I also worried about the things that I would have to give up to do anything, and in particular full-time service, because, well, see, I loved making money. Even as a child, you know, before I was 10 years old, I was out with a, I would take a wagon, put the lawnmower in the wagon, drag it all over, see if I could mow lawns. And then eventually I got a job working as a substitute paperboy. And as a substitute paperboy, you don't substitute, you take care of half of the route. I was working 6 days a week, making $5 a month. And oh man, I was pleased to be making money and to be able to save that money. And I also loved mathematics. And I knew good and well, no pastor ever does anything with math. you know, there's never a chance. And I loved mathematics. And I knew I wanted to do something with mathematics, too. And so that's kind of who I was. Now, as a child, though, I did love, even though I loved making money and saving money, I loved tithing and giving to missions. Now, when I first was giving to missions, we just gave to missions. But I mean, I was literally on the cusp of Faith Promise, and I was involved in Faith Promise from as a child. And so I really did. I had a real heart for missions. I had a real heart for the church, and I loved giving to it. It was not a problem at all. But when it came down to the call, like Isaiah, where he cries out, "Even so, Lord, send me." I was crying out, "Even so, Lord, send him, not me." In addition, I did love ministry. And I can tell you right now that, you know, God's not going to have you doing something, I could say, great or big or whatever for him when you don't have a love for ministry in his local church. If you're not active here, don't expect that God's going to, you know, be calling you out to the mission field. And so I had a love for ministry at my local, at my church. And so and at 13 years old, I was already teaching in the junior churches and leading singing and things like that. And so I've been involved in teaching for a long time. But as I moved out into the Air Force, I don't understand really why, but God gave me a longing at that time, a strong desire in my mid-20s to serve the Lord full-time, but in a, if I can call it, as a, where I'm financially independent. And so I set up, you know, I'm a detailed person, so I set up page after page of a plan that would get me to financial independence at about age 45, where I could retire and then do whatever for God, even if there was not a penny that would come to me. And so I continued to work on this plan every 6 months. And I know it's only because I had to withhold, because I constantly wanted to go and look at the plan and see how I was doing. But you know, things don't change that much over a few weeks. So I try and, okay, wait 6 months. And then I would go and I'd look and see how I was doing according to plan, make adjustments as were needed. And so that was going on, and I have to admit my plan fell a little short of what God's plan was for me. I, for instance, did not realize that God was going to give me 11 children. That was not in the plan. And man, you try and send your kids to Christian school and then help them with their college stuff. That's, you know, you got 11 children. That's $250,000. And that was not in my plan. And then so for some of you who are more my age, you remember in the 80s, especially in the early to mid 80s, it was easy to invest your cash for 10% interest or greater. And how much interest are you getting on your money today? And so, you know, I'm expecting to have like a nest egg and then put it in here and get, you know, 6-10% on it. So that's all part of my plan. And I have to admit that a lot of these things didn't quite work out. But the longing never changed. And so I just continued to press forward with some deviations in timing and stuff like that. But by the time I hit around 50, I had reached what I really needed to do to be financially independent. Well, that financial independence did not give me a right heart, okay? And so I was doing a lot in my church. I taught Sunday school. I was the head of the junior church, and I also was the teacher in the men's class in the evening. And so I don't remember how many years I had done it, but this year I had decided that we were going to really look and see, get active in what we could do in terms of ministry to our family, to our church, to our community. And basically, I had this matrix set up. And one of the things that struck me hard was that we as individuals and as a church, we need to be in the nursing homes. I mean, James 1:27 doesn't leave any room for not visiting the widow in their affliction. And so I basically went and talked to my pastor. He agreed. And so we started our nursing home ministry. And the problem was, I still am so uncomfortable around old people, especially dying old people. And so I'm thinking, oh man, it's in scripture. I know I'm supposed to be there. I don't really want to. And so even our first nursing home, Garden Terrace, has basically principally Alzheimer's patients. And so I know from God's word, remember what faith is? Okay, it's knowing what God says and then doing it. So I knew from God's word we needed to be there. And so I agreed that I would go. Now, I thought to myself, I don't know what to say to these old people. I mean, do you go there kind of weeping and saying, I'm sorry you're dying? I mean, exactly. What encouraging words do you use? They can't even get out of the place. How's the weather? Who cares? I can't, you know, they don't get to go outside. And what do you say? And I didn't know what to say. And then I knew good and well they'd look terrible. You know, I'd seen old people and stuff like that, and they just will look terrible. And so I was thinking, I just have no idea, but I know I'm supposed to be there. And so I was prepared to preach and to try and at least say a few things, go up and visit some of the older people. And I did. I went up to one older man. I said, hi, my name is Tom. And he looked at me and said, what does that matter to me? And I said, well, guess it doesn't matter, does it? Yeah, I mean, who cares what my name is? So, but I struggled my way around and things like that, and then I preach, and I'm telling you, it was every bit as bad as I ever imagined. I mean, it really was. There was people laying back in their seats, their mouth is wide open, and they're looking skeletal, and their skin is often purple, and they have to cover it so that it doesn't end up getting torn and things like that. And it wasn't, it was bad. And as I was walking out of there, I could not understand what was going on inside of me. Because when I walked out of there, I felt more blessed than I could ever remember in serving God. And I'm serious about that. I didn't understand it, but I could recognize it. It was incredible. And I eventually became so excited about the nursing home ministry. I worked it all the way until we left for Uganda. We saw hundreds of people saved. And not only my wife's great, but I mean, I fell in love with those old people. And I could hug them and kiss them and talk to them and everything. But I had to think about it. What happened? Why did I feel this blessing? And it became, and all of a sudden it struck me. And it was this, that the blessings of God come from obedience. I simply obeyed God's word, faith, and the blessings followed with it. You don't pursue blessings. Blessings will pursue you. And so all of a sudden, it was then that I remember, and it was in September, and I just said, God, I could go to Africa. Because you know what? Didn't matter that it might be every bit as bad as I ever thought. The simple fact is, if God commanded it and I did it, I would be blessed beyond measure. And so at that time, I told God anything, including Africa. Well, a few other things occurred in the short period of time, but October at our church's missions conference, I said, yes, I'll go to Africa. Thought it was going to be Zambia at the time. God directs, and he will do that. God, I can give testimony to all the things God did to change. He changed my heart. Okay, one, because he made me absolutely willing, but even joyful about being able to go to Africa. And so he changed my heart. When you're a father of 11 children and you know, you got parents and grandchildren and all that, I was grieving about leaving them. Literally leaving them here as I went to Uganda at that time with about 8 of my children. But I knew I would eventually send them home too. And I said, I even told God, I said, God, you're going to have to do something because you can't have a missionary out in the field grieving the whole time. And God did that. He changed my heart. I got so excited about going to Uganda. There was a couple times where I thought I wasn't going to get to go. I got, oh man, I grieve now over the fact that I might not get to go. And so everything, God did that. And then God affected my finances. See, I knew that I was already financially able to go to the mission field without even a dime of support. And that's why I go out there and my personal stuff is all taken care of by my finances. What the churches do, they are the ones who are enabling us to do ministry. So whether it be build buildings, operate, ministries and all that, that's what the churches are contributing to. I could do that. But one thing that I found out was that by quitting before I was 55, and you could work it out to make it happen at 53. If you're a Boeing employee, you want to talk to me about it, I can tell you. So I thought, okay, but I'm 51. I thought, well, I could wait 2 more years, take this other thing, and it will all work out. But Boeing was in the process of having reduction in forces. And call it RIFs. So I told my boss, I said, hey, if you get a chance, I'd like to get RIFed. And she says, Tom, there ain't no way. You're at the top of the ratings. We have to cut at the bottom. So they did a little cutting at the bottom. Then she came to me one day and she says, well, the ratings are now, we're in the process of ratings. She said, if you don't mind, she said, I'll make a few adjustments and I can get you to where you can be RIFed. Do it, I said. And because if they RIFed you, they give you 1 week's of pay for every year you've been in. And so I like that. I like making money. I like that. So that was good for me. But I also knew that if you leave before you're 55, you get your a penalty to your pension, and it's a 60% penalty to your pension. But I said, I've already got enough. I could have more, but I don't need more. That's fine. Well, after I got riffed, I was looking at the information and stuff like that. Guess what? If you get riffed, there's no penalty to your pension. God worked it all out. And it was marvelous to see. It wasn't me working it out. It was God who was working it out. And so I learned a lot. I learned things. I got to experience Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Listen, if you want your paths directed by God, trust in him with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. His understanding is so much greater than ours. But what some things I really saw, and I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Most people have read, or I shouldn't say most people have read this verse, but there's been plenty of people who have read this verse, and they missed it. They missed something very key in here. But I'm going to read you verses 1 and 2, and I want you to see this. And if you do have true faith, you'll believe it. Look what it says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now look what it says in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and what's that next word? Overtake thee. You see that? It didn't say you need to pursue them. The blessings will overtake you. They're going to catch up with you. God's going to send them your way, and you're not going to miss out on them. Well, if you go to Deuteronomy 28:22, now this is the bad part of it. Deuteronomy 28:22. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword and with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. See, the blessings of God, they're going to overtake you if you're obedient. The curses of God will pursue you and overtake you if you're disobedient. Okay? You don't have to worry about these things. What do you have to worry about? What do I have to worry about? Obedience. Just obey God's word. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, if I asked you and I said, how many of you desire to have goodness in your life? We'd all say, me, I do. Okay. How many of you guys would like to have mercy extended to you in life? Me, I do. How many of you guys would like to be prosperous? How many of you guys would like to be successful? And we would all sit there and say, yes, count me in, okay? But some of us decide that we've got to pursue those things. And what God's word is saying is, don't worry about them. They will overtake you if you will obey. Let's look at it. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now look why, here's why, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When does prosperity overtake you? When does success overtake you? When you observe to do all that is in his book, that is in the Word of God. That's when it happens. And that's what I was experiencing and certainly have experienced in Uganda, is the blessings of God simply by being obedient. Go with us, and we're only doing the real well-known ones. Go with us, me, to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. Look at verse 6. Surely, that means with certainty, okay? Surely goodness and mercy shall what? Shall follow you. Didn't tell you you had to go pursue goodness and mercy. It's going to follow you all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But who does this promise go to? Who is going to have goodness and mercy follow them? The first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. When God is your shepherd, when Jesus Christ is your shepherd, and by being your shepherd, that is not saying he is your savior. By being your shepherd, that means I'm following him. And when we follow him, and that is done through obedience, through faith in his word, when we do that, without a doubt, surely, goodness and mercy will follow us. You see that? We don't have to pursue these things. We just need to, as children of God, be in his word so we can know what he commands of us and then do it. And as we do that, then God's blessings will pursue us. And that's becomes, if I can say it, somewhat of the simple story of how a scared child and somewhat a scared adult ended up doing some things that some people shake at, about the idea of, oh, going to Africa. It's, you know, they're afraid of it. I can't believe how many people will tell, you know, ask me questions. You know, they're fearful of it. By the way, since I said it early, I will now at least say that your coffee table books, National Geographics, and things like that are doing nothing but exploiting the bazaar in Africa. Africans are some of the most, if I can say it, down-to-earth, conservative, humble people you'll ever meet. They are, if you go there, they are typically well-dressed. Men, even when they're digging ditches, are often in slacks. They don't have tattoos for the most part. They don't even have piercings for the most part. The women, most of them, especially in the villages, they dress like women, and the men dress like men. And they treated me and my family beyond what we should have ever received from them. I only wish that I had submitted to God earlier, because the 6 years while in Uganda, the best years of my life, and God was able to, in spite of me, God was able to do great things. And we'll tell you more about that as Pastor has me on the schedule to present a little presentation of the ministry, but God has always exceeded my expectations, and because of his goodness. So remember, remember this simple lesson: if you want these things, prosperity, success, goodness, mercy, things like that, just obey God. Just submit yourself to him. And whatever he says, just agree to do it. And unless he's, and only if God's a liar, these things, then maybe they won't come to you. But we know that God does not lie. And so you can, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, surely, with certainty, God's going to bless you beyond anything you could have imagined. And I hope that helps. I know it helped me tremendously, and I hope this the kind of simple lesson is a help to you. So let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, for without it, we would be lost. Lord, for without it, we would not know you. But Lord, we have been given your word, and I pray, though, Lord, as a people, that, Lord, we will be found meditating upon it, that we will be found faithful in obeying it. And Lord, we already know that, Lord, we're the ones where the problem is. Lord, it is us that fail. But Lord, we know that there is no problem with you. We know you never fail. And so, Lord, we know that you will greatly bless these people if they will simply obey you. Lord, I pray that you will continue to bless Open Door Baptist. Lord, may they be a united people doing a great work for you. Lord, proclaiming, Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the blessing that they have been to me and my family and the ministry of Uganda. Lord, may you bless as Pastor preaches. And Lord, may his message, may your word truly change us, make a difference in our life. And Lord, we'll have you to praise and thanks for it, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was tremendous. Amen.